Intervju Radija Študent. Hoditi in držati se z Rosano Kate. Prejšnji teden smo v Ljubljani lahko ujeli škotsko performerko, aktivistko in feministko Rosano Kate, ki je v okviru festivala Mesto žensk izvajala performance Walking Holding, hoditi, držati. S svojim projektom je že gostovala v Londonu, Amsterdamu, celo Hongkongu. Zanimajo odnos do družbe oziroma odnos družbe do marginaliziranih skupin in razbijanje predsodkov. Skozi svoje performanse želijo opozarjati na zidove, ki si jih postavljamo kot ljudje. Da bi izvedela kaj o njenem tekočem projektu Walking Holding, sem jo povabila na kavo in naredila kratek intervju.
So, Rosana, you are here in Ljubljana, and tomorrow you will perform your project Walking Holding, and could you tell us something about the performance?
Yeah, so Walking Holding is a performance that I've been touring around for the past 5.5 years. It's a performance for one audience member at a time. And when you come to the performance, you get taken on a walk through whatever town or city we're in. And on that walk, you hold hands with a series of different local people. So the experience normally takes about 30 or 40 minutes, and you'll normally hold hands with about 6 different people. And those people that are in it that you hold hands with are local participants who I work with before the performance to prepare them for it. And the idea is that they are sort of different to each other, perhaps different ages or races or genders or abilities. Often with a focus on looking at sort of marginalised identities within a place, but not always. So it's a very simple performance on paper, really. It's just about the act of walking in public and holding hands with different people. But that can open up so many different sort of issues or thoughts or reflections for the people that come. I first made the performance in response to my own experiences of holding hands in same-sex relationships and not always feeling comfortable to do that and sort of wanting to explore that. So at its root there is an exploration of homosexual experiences and queer, the experience of sort of people in queer relationships, because we are putting together people in different combinations, so they may represent some of those queer identities. So it's an opportunity to see how that is received in different places. But I think the more that I've toured it and the more I work with different people and take it to different places, my ideas surrounding what it's about have really opened up. And I think it's really about finding new ways to connect with strangers, which I think is an important thing to do, and trying to understand the world from other people's perspectives, I suppose.
You quote Audre Lorde at your webpage.
Yeah.
And you quoted, "It's not our difference that divide us, it's our inability to recognize, accept and celebrate these differences." Does your performance try to celebrate differences?
I think it does, yeah. I hope it does. It's certainly about recognizing, accepting and ultimately celebrating. I think sometimes people think the idea of the performance is to provoke and to expose prejudice. And maybe when I first created it, that's something I was thinking about. So sort of, you know, like trying to help people see that it's quite hard if you have a different identity. Actually, what happens most of the time in the performance is that it's incredibly uplifting to be passed from hand to hand, to be completely accepted by these new people that you've met, can be quite a sort of overwhelming and positive and affirming experience.
So you've been performing this for 5 years, right?
Nearly.
Do you have any negative experience with that performance, or they're only positive?
Well, as I say, it has on the whole been positive, but there have been some times where a prejudice has been exposed, where things have been more challenging. We had an interesting experience. We did it in Leith, which is an area of Edinburgh. We did it there first in 2013. And one of the participants who was in it, one of the performers, was cross-dressing. He's someone who cross-dresses quite a lot, so wears women's clothes. And actually, on the first day of the performance, I didn't have him cross-dressing because there weren't any other men in it that day. And I thought, you know, if there's only one man, then he should wear men's clothes. I'm doing quotation marks around that. But yeah, so he and his route took him through a really big Tesco's, which is a big supermarket in the UK. And he walked through the Tesco all afternoon on the first day, every 15 minutes with a different person, fine. The next day he was wearing a dress and heels and makeup, and he got stopped the second time of walking in, and he was told there'd been complaints made about him, his behaviour was suspicious, he was making customers feel uncomfortable. So really sort of horrible comments to receive. And then he sort of tried going through again with the next person, and they said, I'm sorry, if you come in here again we're calling the police. And yeah, and so basically he wasn't able to walk through there, so this sort of act of prejudice happened and then blocked where he was able to go in space. So that was quite a negative experience, sexuality.
Okay, you also performed with your sister.
Yes, yeah.
And it seemed very provocative. Mm-hmm. Do you think that provocation can affect people more, or do you think you can make changes with provocation and facing people with facts?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's interesting, the word provocation, isn't it? I made a show with my older sister, and she doesn't anymore, but has worked in the sex industry. Well, she's worked as a stripper, and then she worked in porn, and then as an escort in Berlin. And the show sort of looked at our relationship to each other, what it was like to grow up together, and our relationship to feminism and sexuality, and the ways in which we express our gender and our sexuality. And it came from a place, I suppose, of me wanting to understand better her decisions and understand how they could fit in with some of my own feminist ideas that I've been developing in my early 20s. In some ways, the show actually, and what a lot of feedback we got was that it was sort of very gentle and loving, and came from the perspective of two sisters who, you know, our relationship is that we're very close and we desperately want to understand each other and respect each other. So the actual tone of the show wasn't necessarily really provocative. And, you know, there's some things within it, like we do perform naked for a lot of it, and it starts with us doing a lap dance. And I suppose, you know, some people think that nudity is just there to be shocking or to be provocative. And where we come from, our sort of standpoint on that is that we don't feel like nudity is shocking, or that it, in a way, we find it weird that it is, because we feel very comfortable being naked. We like seeing other people being naked, you know, in a way that we see it as a natural thing rather than a shocking thing. So in some ways, I think I'm interested in presenting images that some people might see as provocative, in a way that hopefully, like, through duration makes them less provocative and makes us question why we're thinking that thing is really shocking. Because, yeah, so I'm not really looking to shock, I'm looking to unshock or something, to go beyond the shock of a naked female body and actually be able to look at it as something different, I suppose.
And you problematized also sex industry and feminism?
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of my perspective on this comes from my older sister's experiences, and yeah, from having a sister who has worked in the industry. So I've learned a lot from her direct experience, and I have to acknowledge that well, I think we all have to acknowledge that the sex industry is huge, like really, really huge, and involves millions of people all over the world, either as customers or people who work in it, or and there's so many different aspects to it and different ways that it's done. And I think what I've learned from my sister is that there is potentially a way the sex industry could work where people, like my sister definitely chose to work as an escort. She felt like she enjoyed that job. She felt like she was being very honest in what she was doing. People were paying her for a service. She was happy to give them that service. She felt like she was making them happy, and that made her happy. So she didn't necessarily like sort of these ideas we might have seen in the sex industry, women being used, being exploited. That wasn't her experience of it. And she says that she feels like we need to think about the way the sex industry can work positively. We need to talk about the sex industry, admit that it's there. She doesn't think there's a way that it's going to suddenly disappear, because it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's something that's been going on throughout history. But in order to look after the people that are in it, that, you know, she feels like very strongly that it should be legalised, and so that people are able to control it, and that we need to talk about the really horrific elements of the sex industry, which is when she makes a distinction between sex work and sex slavery, and she sees sex work as people who are choosing to do sex work as a job, and sex slavery as people who've been forced into it and are there sort of against their will. And obviously there's like, it's not such a binary, because you have to look at the reasons why someone might choose to take that as a job. Are they in a desperate situation? But certainly my sister chose it. She had other options of what she could do, and it was something she wanted to do. So I suppose, like, through sort of really trying to understand my sister's perspective, I feel like as a feminist it is really important to listen to women who are saying, this is my choice, I'm choosing to do this with my body and I'm happy to do it, because I think when feminism says that all women working in sex work are being exploited, they are actually suggesting these women are being exploited who in their minds aren't. And I suppose I think something really important for me in feminism is that people are able to make choices, and that women, I still feel like there's so many different things that we need to talk about to do with sex work, but I think when we're having discussions about sex work, it's vital that we listen to the voices of the people that are working in it, and I think often their voices aren't in those discussions, and that's a problem.
How do you connect private sphere with public sphere? Your own problems. How do you connect your own problems or your experiences with your art and connect it with the public?
Yeah. Since moving away, I grew up in a small town in the south of England. Since moving away from that town, going to study a contemporary performance course, learning about gender and sexual politics, discovering my own sexual identity, because I grew up assuming I must be a straight woman, straight teenager, because that's the only thing that was presented to me. Since discovering my queer sexuality, I very quickly felt like I wanted to change my appearance outwardly in order to reflect my politics. I wanted to create an appearance that was sort of in opposition to everything I felt like I'd been forced into doing as a teenager. So, you know, like as a teenager I had long hair and I shaved my body hair and wore makeup and wore high heels and all these things. I then, you know, wanted to alter it. I shaved off all of my hair and I grew my body hair and got some Doc Martin boots, you know. It's just something a bit stereotypical about it, but it is also looking at the idea of your politics always being present on you as a person, which is something that I'm interested in. Once someone asked me to do a discussion about sort of presence as a form of protest, so the idea that your presence is a form of protest, when is your presence a form of protest? And I was thinking, well, how can my presence always be a form of protest, or not necessarily protest, but sort of a form of action, of taking up space, of visibility, of a difference. So it's something that I was very interested in for a while, and in some ways I think I've softened a bit more recently, but this idea that for me, and I don't think this is the same for everyone, but for me, being visible in public as a way of representing perhaps what my private ideas are is quite, yeah.
Thank you for talking with me. Z vami pa je bila tokrat...
Intervju Radija Študent.
Mater. Ja, do mene spet mene pije, da dežurni bedak, mi mi mat. Pa vedno mene, ono, te tam prežgati, verve, kaj bom se delo, bom se delo. Čak, mogoče bo. Čak. Fuck. Dela. Ma, zahacamo pa še toliko fajhtne drve. Radio Študent.